And this hour is our monthly visit by Dr. Berge of Blue Cross Vet. Thanks for being here.
It's good to be here. I enjoy these little talks here. As long as I don't say naughty words, I can say whatever I want.
Right, right. No naughtiness.
You've only bleeped me like once, right?
Maybe twice. Maybe. That one day. Well, you remember that one day.
Oh, yes.
The day that
I won't do it again, I promise.
So how's the vet business?
Oh, it's roaring. You know, Blue Cross is only one vet practice, but basically we're just totally booked. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't call us if you need help. You know,
right.
We'll fit you in. But basically every vet clinic, big or small, is just totally booked.
Right.
Which is weird because we'll be booked, we'll be turning people away, and then we get a bunch of no-shows.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's true for every service business.
Yeah.
But it really cranks us because there were people we could have seen, you know, and they didn't get service. And then the people who had a legitimate appointment couldn't be bothered to show up.
Huh. Now, are most of the calls just like routine, we have fleas, or is it, you know, my dog got his arm bit off, or...
Well, the calls are all a mixture of everything, you know, from horribly, you know, we're in big trouble to, oh, I've got fleas. And Blue Cross Vet, we do kind of stick to the simpler things.
Yeah.
I do have, you know, a full-size brain, so I do know what's going on. But when it gets weird, I pass the buck for business
when
reasons.
When it gets weird, define weird.
Well, there's different types of weird.
Yeah.
There's technically weird, where it really is a complex case. It really needs a lot of help. And then there's where the case was not really that bad, but the owner is really weird.
Oh, yeah?
You know, and I'm really stupid when it comes to weird people who are hard to work with. I'm just a country vet, you know. I just
right.
can't. I'm not smart enough.
Can you give me an example, like an example situation where the owner is kind of weird? I mean, you don't have to say names or anything, but...
Yeah, many times owners, and this is not a criticism, this can be everybody, will come in, they've already got the diagnosis, they just need me to give my prescription authorization.
They have diagnosed it themselves.
Right, you know.
Because they Googled it.
Yeah, and they just want to confirm on that. And that's an easy trap to fit into. And, you know, more than half the time, they're right, so how can I complain? I'd work with that. I'd gently explain, actually, I think you are right. Or, that's one option, or it could be this other thing. And then there are other people who come in with just wacko.
Yeah.
and I will try to express my point of view. But a lot of the most wacko people are not very good listeners either.
They don't want to hear it?
No. Well, a lot of times people, including very good people, are just not very good listeners at all. You know, they paid me $50 for my advice, and they go, bop, 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 bop. And then I think, bop, 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 bop. And what? No, bop, 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 bop. And I, you know.
Instead of listening to you.
Yeah, yeah. And I can work with that quite a bit, but sometimes it gets so bad it's really hard for me to communicate.
Yeah. Wow. I totally get what you're saying, too.
Yeah. But it sounds, please don't, if you're listening, please don't feel that I'm negative, because actually I love working with people.
Right.
You know, and if you're courteous and happy to be there, I'm happy to talk with you.
Right. Right. Okay. Well, if you have any questions for Dr. Berge, that's what he is here for, to answer your questions at no charge.
That's exactly right.
It's Local Matters. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Dr. Berge, I have a cat, and I've noticed she has a tapeworm.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering, I have three other cats, if it's contagious. Anyway, I think a tapeworm comes from a flea. How does it end up to be a tapeworm in that form?
That's a great question. Oh, you had a second question on top of that?
Yeah, years ago, well, when I was a kid, they'd say, if you eat a lot, they'd say, are you feeding a tapeworm?
Oh, okay.
So do people get tapeworms, and how do they get them?
Okay, here's the deal with tapeworms. There are thousands of different species of tapeworms. There's one that's actually specifically designed for humans. It's been with us probably for millions of years. It's a huge tapeworm. It can get up to 20 feet long. So when they say you're really skinny, you're feeding a tapeworm, that's what they're referring to, the human tapeworm. The one that you see with... Yeah, they're gross. It's actually, some people will give them on purpose just as a diet tool.
On purpose?
I'm sorry. You can get the tapeworm proglottis. Anyway, before I move on to cats, let me tell you more about the human tapeworm. As part of its reproductive cycle, you need to eat a baby tapeworm in order to get that human tapeworm. And the little dormant tapeworms are about the size of a BB, and they just look like a little round thing in meat. So those little round things are called measles. So measles, we talk about measles, little round dots on your skin, but the term measles was traditionally used for lots of things. So if you have these little round dots in the meat, those are called measles in the meat. And the term was, I'm not going to pay top price for that meat. It's too measly. It has too many measles in it. And so,
would a measle be an egg?
Yes, exactly. Well, it's not really an egg. It's like the egg has already hatched. The worm grew a little bit, and then it formed a cocoon around itself. It's like a cocoon for a butterfly. And so, anyway, if you eat the meat that's raw and you swallow one or more of those measles, then you can get your human tapeworm. But if you cook the meat, then although it's gross, it's perfectly nutritious for you. So that's where measly beef came from, and the term measly in general came from that. And so now think in terms of fleas. So what if you're a cat and you're grooming and you feel a tickle and then now you have a flea in your mouth and you kill the flea and swallow it? Well, that flea can also have little baby tapeworms inside of it, exactly the same way as that meat had baby human tapeworms. Now, these cat tapeworms are much smaller. They only get to be about 3 inches long. So the cat swallows the flea dies, the baby tapeworm hatches out, it latches onto the intestine of the cat, and then it will live to the end of its days in that one spot. It can't move. But it breaks off little pieces of itself, the little size of a rice grain, and that's what you see coming out of the cat's rear end. And those are bags of eggs. You can even see them squirting little milky droplets of millions of eggs.
I've been cringing the whole time.
I'm a biologist. I love this stuff. Anyway, so if your other cat were to lick up those things or eat those proglottids, it would not get a tapeworm. They have to go through an incubation stage in a flea. So that stuff comes out. The little flea maggots eat. I know, boy, this is breakfast time, isn't it? The little flea maggots eat those things.
I find this very interesting. Please go on.
Okay, thank you. I do like support when I'm in this mood here. Anyway, so the baby flea, the little flea maggot, eats some of that stuff. Does one of them hatches out in that flea maggot, and then the flea maggot has a measle in it. But then the flea maggot continues to eat and gets bigger, spins a cocoon, comes out as an adult flea. It still has that little baby tapeworm inside of it. And then if the flea is eaten by a cat, the cycle goes on. So you break it in two ways. You get some medicine to kill the tapeworms, and you enhance your flea control because a lot of flea products don't kill fleas very well.
Okay. So if the cat was never given any flea medicine, will it die from a tapeworm?
No, it will not. And as a matter of fact, every animal, humans and cats, our whole immune system is designed to be crawling with parasites. And the fact that we humans have basically eliminated parasites is one of the reasons why we have so much allergy problems. Because our immune system is hyperactive, the parasites secrete a slime that soothes our immune system. But we don't have parasite slime anymore to keep us cool, so we need to have prednisone instead.
Well, I encourage any parasite myself.
I have no intention of ever deliberately giving myself a parasite. I can live without
them. I'm just kidding. I heard about the human tapeworm on the news a few years ago. It was the end thing to buy these and to be slim.
Yeah.
Okay.
You bet. Thank you for the call on that.
Last thing. Where do I get the medicine? A vet or from... Tractor Supply.
Okay. When it comes to the medicine that kills tapeworms, you can get that from Tractor Supply. You should ask for praziquantel, praziquantel. It's often sold as a combined roundworm and tapeworm medicine, and that's fine. So you get some of that.
What do you say again, please?
Praziquantel is the part that kills tapeworms. Many times it will have a second drug called pirantel, which kills roundworms. So you go ahead and get their Cadillac worming medicine, which is a little spendy, and that'll do the job.
Okay. Praziquantel.
Anything that starts with a P-R-A-Z is the one you want.
P-R-A-Z. Okay. Well, I usually have gone to my vet to get the...
Well, if you go to the vet, we'll do it the easy way. I've got some drops you can just squirt on the cat's back, and it gets the job done. You don't have to jam something down its throat.
Okay, because I've got that sounds like flea medicine.
Yeah, there's flea drops you put on the back, and then there's also some worm drops called Profender. And but those are both prescriptions, so you have to go to the vet to get them.
Yeah, I'm trying to save on money now.
Right, it is cheaper to get it from Tractor Supply. And if you have fleas, you should get some good flea meds. And if you can't get the super expensive prescription flea meds, you can do a pretty good job with Advantage given twice a month.
Yeah, I'm very careful with that. Thank you.
Oh, you bet. And thanks for the call. This is exactly the sort of stuff I like to talk about here.
It's 7:22, and if you have any questions for Dr. Burgate, Blue Cross Vet, any pet questions, well, you'll answer other questions.
I'll deal with anything.
Life questions.
Yeah, and if I get too excited, you can bleep me.
Okay. The number is 360-533-5259. Text message or email johnny@jodesha.com for local matters. Dr. Berge, Blue Cross Vet here, and an early morning text. I should have eaten my bowl of oatmeal before your show, LOL.
Actually, that's funny. You know, I've always loved talking about gross things. You know, That's why I went into biology. But those drops that I was telling you that you can put on the cat's back, squirt on their skin, mm-hmm. and they will be absorbed through the skin and kill worms. When that product first hit the market, that was quite a while ago, about 15 years ago,
mm-hmm.
The drug companies will often give you a free dinner, you know, to promote a new product or something.
To schmooze you?
Yeah, exactly. And which, you know, I don't mind the free dinner, but, you know, you often have to drive to Olympia or something.
So they take you and have, like, dinner with you, or do they give you a coupon saying, here?
It's by invitation only. Ooh. You're told to show up at a certain time and place, mm-hmm. you know, usually a nice restaurant,
mm-hmm.
And then there's a guest list you sign in, and then you get your free dinner, and they present their deal. You know, corporations do that, and I don't really have any problem with that, except sometimes I'm not willing to drive that far.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they were promoting the product I was just telling you about called Profender, and we already knew it was a worm product and so forth. So we all sat eating our dinner, and they showed all these slimy, you know, cut open intestines.
While
you're
eating dinner?
While we're eating dinner.
Oh,
you
nice.
Know, we were just chowing down. No big deal.
Right. You guys are used to it, though, right?
Right, yeah. And but the person presenting all this was a good speaker, really good, experienced speaker. And he was already starting his warm-up for the product with all these absolutely disgusting pictures. And then he was starting to make, you know, the kill shot here, you know, and he said, you know, I just showed you the most disgusting pictures I could possibly. I looked really hard to find the most disgusting pictures I could. And you veterinarians just chow down. I knew you would because you're veterinarians. Your customers do not feel that way. They do not like parasites. Buy my product, and they will be happy.
Wow.
And yeah. And
was it a good sell?
Yeah, it was. I bought his product.
Okay. Nice. And you got a dinner. What was for dinner? Do you remember?
No.
Okay.
But it didn't have anything crawling and wiggling on it.
Yeah.
I think it was a steak of some sort.
Right. Now, in those situations, which I assume you've had more than one kind of situation where you get a dinner, right?
Yeah.
Do you get to order anything off the menu, or is it a limited kind of, well, you can have this, or
usually
this?
Usually there'll be two choices.
Oh.
Possibly three, but usually two choices.
Yeah.
And both of them are very acceptable. One of them will always be some sort of a steak-like object,
mm-hmm.
and then there will be something other, more floofy.
A floofy. Some seafood or a salad or something boring.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Because, like, if it was an open menu...
Often a pasta or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
If it was an open menu, I would have just go straight directly for the most expensive whatever. Oh, if it's on your dime.
Right, and I have nothing against that. And
yeah.
But I don't think I've ever been given that opportunity. It was always, you know,
yeah.
you have a choice.
Boundaries. They always put those dang boundaries.
Yeah.
When was the last time you ever got offered a dinner?
Well, I get offered all the time, but I haven't gone to one for a long time. The
yeah.
drive is just more trouble than it's
right.
worth.
Yeah, right. Hey, it's Local Matters. You're on the air.
Hi.
like, hey, I was the one eating the oatmeal.
Okay.
when you were talking about going to presentations, it reminded me, my doctor had said that when he was in med school that they had Joe Montana promote some sort of a drug, and they all went to it because it was Joe Montana.
Yeah.
Have you had any celebrities do a presentation of veterinarian drugs or procedures?
That's a good question, but I think I'm going to have the answer as no. However, there is the Western Veterinary Convention, which I've been to several times in Las Vegas, and they will often have a high test entertainer at one point or another. But they're not selling product; they're just there for fun.
Oh, okay.
You know, well, there'll be a big auditorium.
Go ahead.
No, there'll be a big auditorium, and there might be several hundred people listening or more. To a first line celebrity singer entertainer.
Uh-huh. Well, I know that too. There's that Sunshine Act where anything free like that is not really. You still have to document it, right? You still have. I know that other doctors do. They have to document whenever they get something free from a company or whatever.
Well, I'll tell you on the air right now. I certainly don't do anything of that sort. I'm not sure what the legal status. I'm pretty sure that because I'm a sole proprietor. I'm not quite sure about the legal status. I think what you're referring to is the practice of, if I'm a physician and I'm getting kickbacks for a product, it would be illegal for me to prescribe the product under those circumstances. And I think that is a kind of a general fraud rule that probably includes veterinarians, too. But it can be kind of fuzzy because anytime a corporation is promoting a product, they're just in good faith promoting their product. And you kind of make your own decision after that.
Okay.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah,
okay.
Thank you.
My cat had kittens like a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Their eyes have just opened up, so I guess that's a week or 2 weeks, maybe three. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been paying attention.
What do you mean? You don't know day from night or
totally.
Monday from Friday?
Yeah, 13-year-old daughter.
Okay,
what's going on?
And a cat and kittens
and kittens. So how old do they have to be before I can like give them? Because I have friends that want one.
Do you have all of the cats accounted for?
No,
okay.
Just some.
Well, you need your connections. I'm sure you have plenty. Mm-hmm. In fact, you should do it right now. Announce to the world that you have kittens available.
Yep. If you need kittens.
Okay. anyway, I kind of like to keep them until they're about 8 weeks old.
Yeah.
And then they're good to go. They'll be eating solid food, and the eyes are open, and they're feisty and so forth.
Feisty, yeah. How do you, and I wouldn't expect you to know this, but maybe you do, how do you potty train them?
They just kind of potty train themselves.
Yeah.
You know, that subject comes up a lot, and I just, for both dogs and cats, and I said, well, you know, just kind of be patient.
Yeah.
You know, with the puppies are having accidents, just keep telling them, you know, don't scream and shout and stuff. Just keep telling, no, that's not what I want. I want here. And particularly for dogs, for little puppies, you want to take them out multiple times per day so that they can pee and poop outside, and then they can get a kind of rhythm for it that way.
Yeah. Let me out.
Yeah.
I need to go do that thing.
Yeah. And also for puppies, you can often see they're kind of dancing around in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think they're getting ready to make their move, you just grab them up. You know, even a Malamute, you can carry it under your arm when they're small.
Yeah.
And just pick it up right then and then set it on the grass outside.
Make their move.
With no harsh words at all.
No?
You
know.
It won't do you any good.
Can't yell and scream at it?
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
That's what video games are for.
Okay. So if you have any questions for Dr. Berge, and you know, if you have a pet problem, he's here to answer those questions at 360-533-5259. Text message or email. That's johnny@jodesha.com. Anything going on in the pet world right now?
No, you know, the corporations try to come up with new products, but they can't really put a new one out every month. You know, that would be kind of magical.
Yeah.
But now and then they will get a new product that will last for many, many years. You know, like Advantage was great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't promote Advantage now because there's a lot of resistance. But, wow, when that hit the market, It had about a 20-year run when it was the cat's meow. Mm-hmm. And then there's those drops for cats that I was telling you about that kills worms.
Yeah.
That's called Profender. That's a hot product. Right now for flea control, one of my favorite products is Bravecto, mm-hmm. which is available for dogs as a chewable pill and for cats as some drops you put on the back. And since that's a newer product, the fleas are not yet resistant. It really does a nice job.
But give it time. Give it 20 years.
Yeah, then they'll be resistant to that, too.
It's Local Matters. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. Dr. Fergie just mentioned Advantage, and there's a lot of resistance. Is that something, is it like an immunity that's been developed, or what's the resistance?
Resistance and immunity, I'm using those as identical. So if fleas become resistant or they become immune, you know, resistant is kind of a more technical term. Immune is usually used for, I got this disease and now I'm immune to it. Resistance is, you can give me twice as much poison as my buddy and I won't die, but my buddy will. That's resistance.
Good. That actually explains something. I've been having a flea problem with my cat, and I just think, man, that just isn't working anymore.
Yeah, and if you've got a product that's not working, maybe it once worked and isn't working anymore, you definitely need to try something different. Unfortunately for fleas, there's some pretty good worm medicines available from the feed stores, but the feed stores don't have access to the really good flea meds at this time. All the good flea meds are prescription right now.
Very good. Thank you for the info.
You bet. Thanks for the call.
The number is 360-533-5259. Text message or email, johnny@jodesha.com. And, where were we?
We're talking about...
Host this show, will you?
I'm sorry. We were talking about kittens. Little kittens. Okay.
Yes, and you want
one. You were making...
You want a couple of them, don't you?
No, I don't. But I persuaded you to make an announcement, which you did. Mm-hmm. I heard it. that Johnny Manson does have kittens available, at least one. Mm-hmm. And you should give him a call.
Six.
You have six? How many altogether?
Six. Six altogether.
You have some friends already in line for... Something.
Yeah, I think we have two or three that want one each.
Right.
So,
but you can always just hand them a sealed package and it contains two kittens instead of one.
Two for the price of one.
Yes.
Which is free.
And then run away very quickly.
Exactly.
Now, if you really want to make or lose your friend, you should give them one male and one female kitten.
Oh yeah, and a dog.
Yeah.
And a dog to boot. Do you, at Blue Cross, do you fix, neuterings and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every veterinarian does that, and we do a fair bit of that.
Yeah, okay.
There is a bit of a waiting list for that, because we only allocate a certain number of hours per day. Mm-hmm. And with this overbooking, that means that if you have an animal that needs to be neutered, you may have to wait 3 or 4 months, maybe more, at Blue Cross. Which can be really a problem because if you have a female cat or dog and you need it neutered now.
Right.
And Dr. Berge said, 4 months from now, well, mm-hmm. then you may have some issues.
Right. Too bad they don't make, at-home kits, at-home neuter kits. You just do it yourself.
Well, I'm sure there's a gag version of it.
Yeah.
But strictly speaking, there is actually documentation that in Antarctica, mm-hmm. in the early days, at the Russian station, there was a Russian doctor who developed appendicitis and removed his own appendix.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And with photographs and everything. So those guys are tough.
Yeah, that's hardcore. My gosh, I thought clam digging with a shovel in the surf was hardcore.
No, it was local anesthetic, cut a hole, rooted around until they found the right loop of intestines, slurped it out, tied off the appendix, pushed it back in again, stitched himself up.
I love the way you describe this. It's very, I don't know, image forming,
I'm an author.
Ah, right. How's that been going?
It's my big... It's my big hobby,
Your big money maker?
No, I wish. I wish. But, making money in any form of artistic endeavor is really a bit of a stretch.
Right. Every author I've talked to is like, you don't make money writing books.
Well, even really famous authors that I really admire, sometimes mm-hmm. they'll show a picture and you can see in the background that they just live in a tract house.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is a big-time author.
Right. Stephen King?
Well, he might be a little higher level than that.
Okay. Speaking of, like, books and Stephen King, horror, I know this is kind of a stretch, but I watched Halloween Ends the other day.
Uh-huh.
You know, because Jamie Lee Curtis was in Halloween, and I think she may have made appearances in some of the 50 Halloween movies, but, you know, she's, like, major role in this last one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was okay. Yeah. You know, it was a nice end.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I had to say about that.
Well,
I didn't want to spoil it. I didn't want to give any, you know.
Oh, but did it make money?
I think it made a couple bucks.
Yeah.
You know. Maybe not a lot, but anyway.
So have they come out with Jaws 24 yet?
I think so. Well, you know, you've noticed now, and my mom loves these movies, like The Three-Headed Shark or Alligator Zilla versus Shark Boy, or, you know, kind of the Sharknado stuff.
Yeah.
They've really gone overboard with a lot of these.
Well, sometimes it's, you know, so bad that it's good.
Yeah, that's why she watches them.
Yeah.
You know, the giant Amazonian turtle versus, you know, Squidbot.
Yeah. I remember when I was a little kid watching the real first Godzillas, and some of those naughty other kids would be cheering the monster. And then after thinking about it for a little while, I think, you know, maybe they've got a good idea on that.
Godzilla was my best friend growing up, you know.
But even as a kid, I thought that was a horrible, you know, that the special effects have improved quite a bit.
Yeah, they have. Well, it's quarter till. We have one more segment here with Dr. Berge. And if you have a pet that has an issue that you might want to get some free advice for, you can call him right now at 360-533-5259. You can text, message, or email that question. It's johnny@jodesha.com. Because after you're off,
No more free talking.
Right. It's going to cost you.
Yeah. Now, if you call any veterinary clinic, including Blue Cross Vet Clinic, and ask for free advice, they'll very politely kind of steer you aside, trying to convert that into a paying office call, because that's how we earn our money.
Right.
Also, there's liability issues.
Yeah.
You know, it is legal for me to answer the phone and give you free advice from my office, but I won't, because then I don't get paid.
Right, and you have a light bill.
Yeah.
You got to keep the lights on, right?
Yeah.
We have Dr. Berge here, Blue Cross Vet, doing pet advice and small talk.
Right. Remember, give us a call or email, and I will respond to it. And it doesn't even have to be about veterinary stuff, because I consider myself to be here to entertain you, and I'm entertaining myself. So even if you're not happy, I am.
Yeah, either way. Do you watch much TV at all? You probably don't have time.
No. Yeah, I don't watch much TV. When I get free time, I do it for my artistic stuff, you know, and that sounds boring, but I've got that online comic Ships Fox, and it takes massive amounts of time.
Yeah.
And but it makes me happy.
Mm-hmm. So what else is there?
Okay. Well, actually, I had a subject that I was going to bring up if we had a little time to fill. This sounds like a qualify. I was going to talk about Greece.
Greece.
Greece. Greece.
Oh,
the Greece is much more complicated than I had realized. Okay, you know, you've got grease like bacon grease. That's one version of the grease. That's the kind of generic version, you know, edible grease. And then anything grease-like, we talk about that as grease. Just like we would say a seal or a sea lion, we talk about seals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so anything greasy like Vaseline, that's also a grease. But official grease, like you would use in a machinery, is not Vaseline. Vaseline is not a grease by that standard, because if it gets a little bit warm, it all melts down to a liquid and it runs off of your bearings.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole point of grease is to have something gloppy that will stick into that area where it's needed.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it gets a little bit warm, it's not supposed to melt and run away.
Right.
So anything like Vaseline that's capable of melting does not qualify as a legal grease.
Mm-hmm.
To be a grease, you have to have a kind of a matrix, which is normally soap.
Mm-hmm.
The first grease was invented by the Egyptians thousands of years ago. They took olive oil, and then they mixed it with lime, which is what you get when you take limestone or seashells and heat them till they're red hot, and then that's called lime, and it's a very caustic product. So you grind that up, mix it with olive oil, and that caustic lime will cause part of the olive oil to coagulate into a soap, and then that is a grease, because the soap, which remains solid, acts as a sponge that keeps the oil from dripping out.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first grease, and that's still the way we make greases even now. Even lithium grease, that's a lithium soap, and the soap holds the oil in place until it's needed. Okay. So I thought that was really neat, and so I wanted to share that.
Okay. Well, thanks. You would figure it was like the ancient Sumerians that invented it, but I could see the Egyptians doing it too.
Well, you know, that was the first documented.
Right.
You know, we could took our time machine, we might find the Sumerians have a case.
Yeah, they could. I mean, they were pretty. We use something like 600 or 800 of their inventions to this day.
Yeah.
Like beer, for example.
Well, I thought the Egyptians invented beer.
No,
Sumerians.
Yeah, they. You know, I don't understand why we. Kind of,
we give everything to the Egyptians.
Yeah, when the Sumerians did it a long time before, a high-rise building.
Well,
I think
it's because the Egyptians had a desert climate that preserved a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So it has to be really, really dry for a lot of these things to be preserved. And the tombs in Egypt were qualified for that, really, really dry. If there's a tiniest bit of moisture, you can bury a bunch of stuff, and it just turns to mud.
Yeah.
The archaeologists can't work with anything except little bits of gold and pottery.
Right. And apparently there's, art of the planets,
mm-hmm.
Sumerian art.
Oh, showing knowledge of the movement of the planets?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could believe that.
It's amazing. It's like, how did they know that?
Another thing the Sumerians and the Egyptians had that we do not have in Aberdeen was...
What's that?
A clear sky.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
They could stare at the sky almost every day of the year and watch what the stars were up to.
We get clouds. Yeah. The moon last night looked really nice. It wasn't full. I think it was full a couple nights ago, but... the way there was like a hazy fog, and mm-hmm. it was rising over the tree line.
Oh, yeah.
You know how they get that?
Yeah, I was looking at that. Probably definitely the same moon.
Yeah.
Probably the same fog.
It was the same moon?
I think it's quite likely that you and I were looking at the same moon, maybe even at the same time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was really pretty for me last night when I was taking the garbage out.
Yeah, that garbage. Oh, boy. So you're working on the place?
There's a project that I've been working on for many years. I built mm-hmm. a cabin out in the woods, but we won't tell you where it is because it's a secret.
Yeah.
But, each Wednesday when I come here, afterwards I go straight out and get myself dirty and bang things around and stuff like that.
Hey, it's Local Matters. You're on the air.
Yeah, I mean, Sean, and I was calling about my dog's hips seem to be going out. What are some of the best things you could use for that?
Okay, how old is the dog?
He's about 10 or 11.
Okay, so that would be elderly type stuff, arthritis type things, which are not very curable. But, of course, you do want to use some meds for it. You can use aspirin for dogs. You should not use ibuprofen. For humans, the ibuprofen is a little easier on the stomach than aspirin. But for dogs, it's the other way around. The aspirin is a little easier on the stomach. But you're also there's some prescription drugs that are even better. The one I usually use is meloxicam, meloxicam. It's a prescription drug that's very cheap, but also very good. You know, there's no relationship between cost and value for prescription drugs. So meloxicam is off patent, and you can get it really easily and cheaply. You'd need to talk to your veterinarian to get the dosage and your prescription for that, but meloxicam is a good choice for that.
Okay. I always see this stuff on joint care. If like doggy chondroitin type stuff, is that any good? Or
yeah, I think it's good. I use it for myself, and I do recommend it for my customers. But what I try not to do is make false promises about how good it is. I definitely feel it's good, but it's not. You need something aspirin like in addition to that.
Okay.
Oh, meloxicam. There are some syrup type products that the veterinarians sell that are kind of expensive. And then you've got your hard little pills that are made for humans, which are very, very cheap. So when you're talking to the veterinarian to get your meloxicam prescription, just say, I want the cheap little pills, and they'll know what you're talking about.
Great. All right. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Thanks for the call. I got a text message. Does a vet need a special certification to treat service animals?
Nope.
No?
Nope. We treat any animal. We don't really care. Now, The certification for service animals comes in different flavors.
I hear that. You know, there's a lot of fly can just.
Yeah, there's a lot of fly by night things. You can get a service animal certificate easily.
Yeah.
Which is now some of those cheapo certificates are not being honored at
but
airports.
But to have like an officially trained service animal for, let's say, a blind person.
Right, and those are major organizations, and they won't give out their certificate unless you've earned it.
Right.
And now there's been kind of a Wild West for service animals for the last 10 or 20 years.
I've heard that.
And a lot of the places, the airports and the restaurants, are just getting tired of it.
Yeah, people are bringing their emotional support peacocks on planes and stuff.
Yeah, and then they're just saying, no, we're not going to do that anymore. Which is that's a public relations downer for them, but they feel compelled to do it because it was just getting out of hand.
Yeah. I think the alligator did it.
Yeah.
You heard about that one?
No, I did not hear about that, but I have no trouble believing.
Emotional support alligator that was on, yeah.
Yeah, it keeps people, I get my personal distance when I'm carrying my alligator with me.
Right. Now, speaking of alligators.
And no pickpockets either.
You don't treat alligators, pet alligators, right?
No, I'm happy to, admire your alligator or your lizard or your bird, but I don't take money for treating them.
Yeah.
Because I feel it's too hard to give value. Because most of the time when these exotic animals, by the time they come to the vet, they're dying.
Yeah.
And sure, I can put it to sleep. But, if I just say, oh, I'm too dumb, then I don't have to put myself in that situation.
Right. So you stick to cats and dogs,
that's
right?
Correct. Yeah.
Right. And
I used to say if you could bring it through the door that I would treat it. But then people wanted to bring sheep and llamas in.
Oh, yeah.
But which are easy to treat, but you need to have a whole new set of drugs.
Oh.
And so if llamas
come... You can't carry everything.
Yeah, and they expire and stuff like that.
Right.
So okay. I kind of go for the, I'm the bottom of the food chain, one vet, four employees. We don't do fancy stuff.
Right. But plus, like you said, I learned so much on just doing this show.
Yeah.
By the time your alligator needs to go to the vet, he's pretty much checking out, right?
That's the way it usually
Usually. Not always.
Right.
Disclaimer.
Yeah.
Right. But most of the time.
Right, and it can be very frustrating for everybody.
Right. Well, we got a few more minutes here with Dr. Berge. If you have any pressing pet questions, 360-533-5259. Okay, I have one.
Okay.
Runny poo.
Oh.
Is there a solution for runny poo?
Diarrhea is a problem because... sometimes it's easy. You come in, the diarrhea, I give you some antibiotics, it goes away, everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
About half the time. The other half of the time, these diarrheas can be a real pain to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, make sure we worm the animal. Let's maybe find out if the diarrhea is from overeating. If it's a short-term diarrhea, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just eat too much greasy food, you get diarrhea, then you get better whether you go to the vet or not.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got a chronic diarrhea, it could be like a protozoal infection, which would respond to antibiotics most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's really long-term diarrhea, your animal may have some serious intestinal problems that can be very difficult to treat.
Okay.
And did that answer your question?
I think so.
Okay.
Long-term, bad. Short-term, good.
Yeah. And no diarrhea at all is even better.
Yeah, that's the best. Now, what about medications that your vet gives your pet that seems to kind of give it diarrhea.
Yeah. And any medication can cause reactions. Diarrhea is one of them. Mm-hmm. Vomiting is another one.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly if you're getting, some heavy-duty meds, high dosages and things like that,
mm-hmm.
it's not at all uncommon for your animal to get queasy with them.
Yeah.
And if that happens, you need to call the vet and explain that. But don't get mad at them because they're doing their best.
Right.
And most of the time, you can continue to give that medicine just at a lower dose.
Okay. Do you get people that mad at you?
Oh, all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Man.
People are distraught.
Man. I don't know. Like you said, you know, you're doing your best.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you spending the time with me and letting me rib you in the morning.
Oh, that's all right. Bantering is what I like to do.